Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. I'm Gina, and this is the podcast where we enjoy the wonderful, freeing conversations about our connection with past lives, our soul, our connection to the divine out there, the divine inside each and every one of us. In today's episode, we are here for that astrology and self-care, specifically about how we can use the energy of Leo, how this shows up in your birth chart, where we're at right now. I have a ton of questions about Leo. Hopefully you get your questions answered. And of course, we have Meredith of Earthling Astrology and Ashley Sondergaard of Ashley Sondergaard Yoga and the Yoga Magic Podcast. As you know, there are so many reasons why I love astrology, and mostly for the self-exploration. I'm definitely someone who, if something's not working right, I blame myself more than I should. And so what I've noticed recently anyways is that astrology will kind of pull me out of that. Like, yes, you're like that, but here's like the positive side of that. Or here is a way you can kind of look at this so it doesn't seem so detrimental, or you can use it to your advantage. And I love that. I hope you love this conversation. Of course, if you want to share it with your friends, I would be eternally grateful. And if you get to the end of this episode and you're wondering where to go next or what to learn more, you can click the links in the show notes to get to Ashley's stuff. She's got a great podcast. She covers a ton of, like, everything, every corner of self-care she is working herself through. So if that is something that you find interesting, go join the Yoga Magic Podcast for more stories from Ashley. Head over to Earthling Astrology, Meredith's website, to just get more information from her. Again, all of that information in the show notes. And as always, you can go to pastlivesandthedivine.com to learn about the services that I offer. You can download a free guided at-home past life journey, or you can schedule a session with me and have one completely customized to you, your intentions, your questions, your journey. One more thing, we have a new hypnotic track in the shop at pastlivesandthedivine.com. You can click on shop, and the hypnotic track is called Nourish Your Strength. And it was really this Leo lion energy that made me, and just this idea of like strength and showing up, even if we feel a little fearful, if it's the right thing for us to do. And really the intention for this journey is to embrace the things that scare us so we can be courageous with an open heart. So check that out, pastlivesandthedivine.com/shop. And if you're on my email list, check your email. Every time I release a track from the shop, people on my email list get that track for $4 instead of $12 for the weekend. So if that sounds like something you're into, if you want a hypnotic track for $4 instead of $12, make sure you're on my email list. And that's at pastlivesandthedivine.com/subscribe. Gather around the fire for our astrology and
Ashley, Meredith,
episode.
Welcome! Ashley, I'm so excited to have you here. Like I mentioned before, I have
Meredith
so many questions about Leo, and one of my puppies is a Leo, and he seems like he really embodies it, because he's kind of like a diva, always has, I don't know. So I'll be interested to ask some questions after I hear your spiel. But for now, I think most people know who you two are, but give a little intro, who you are, what you're doing.
Yeah, Ashley, you go. We'll go alphabetical today.
All right.
We'll go alphabetical.
Right. Thank you. I'm Ashley Sondergaard. I am a self-care coach. I'm the host of the podcast Yoga Magic. I love to use astrology and self-care to make us feel and just be better and enjoy this life in an extremely meaningful way. And I'm a Cancer sun. I'm a Capricorn moon and an Aries rising.
Oh my gosh, that's how we should have started every episode.
I don't think we've done that yet.
God.
Brilliant, Ashley.
We're halfway through the year and I'm hitting my stride.
And my name is Meredith McCowan. I own Earthling Astrology in St. Paul. I do astrology readings. I work with a psychic 2 days a week for joint sessions, and I also do crystal healing. And I am a Capricorn sun, Sagittarius moon, and Gemini rising.
Ooh. Yeah. Meredith, can you, okay, so we're going to get into all that Leo energy, but before you do that, Meredith, are you really good at like Are you able to have a friend or a family member, and can you guess like their rising sign, their moon sign, their sun sign?
That is a good question, because when I first got obsessed with astrology, I was trying to guess everybody's sign. And when you first meet someone, it's going to be the rising sign. So you can kind of get seduced by the rising sign. And that still happens to me in my practice too. I can't sometimes get through the rising sign, but yeah, it's once you start learning it, you can kind of guess the signs, but it's easier to guess the elements of someone. Is that person a water person, an air person, an earth person, or a fire person? So that's almost easier than guessing the sign, in my experience.
Oh, ooh, I never even thought of it like that. Cool.
But like one example of this, like you'll notice I'm talking with my hands all the time. I'm like flailing them around constantly.
Yeah, me too.
That is a Gemini Mercury thing. So kind of telling a story with your body. So you can spot the Geminis on the street because they're talking with their hands or using their body to communicate their message.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. And then Gina, you've got that Mercury in the first house, which is, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Even when I'm alone recording a podcast, like my hands are
Yeah. Moving. I'm like tapping my foot. I'm constantly twitchy. I can't sit still.
Yeah. All right. Let's get this show on the road. I can't wait to dive in. Okay. Meredith. So let us know like the sun, the moon, the rising. Ashley, as always, if you have questions or additions, hit us.
All right, so I will take a deep dive into Leo energy in general. So Leo is a fire sign, and the fire signs wants to move, spread joy, connect with people, and also a fixed sign. So Taurus is probably the most famous fixed sign of the zodiac, that kind of stubborn, stuck energy, but Leo is fixed as well. So can kind of get stuck and in their ways or opinions, things of that nature. It is the only sign of the zodiac ruled by a star. So every sign has like a planet that's best friends with it. And Leo is the only sign ruled by the sun. So the sun wants to shine bright. Leos are the stars of the zodiac. This is the Hollywood actors and actresses. They're also the salespeople of the zodiac, really comfortable being seen. The negative aspect of Leo is drama, kind of creates drama when maybe there doesn't need to be any, but of course drama belongs on the stage. So if you have a lot of Leo in your chart, it's likely you were interested in acting or maybe did a creative endeavor in your life. Doesn't mean you end up on the stage or doing something like that, but that's where Leo kind of shines and is comfortable. And Gina and I talked a lot about this. I just listened to the birth chart episode that you put out, and we are more uncomfortable with being seen in the spotlight, all eyes on us, but that's where Leos really do their best when they're being observed and everybody's looking at them. They actually get fired up. Okay. And they are natural leaders. So kind of taking the reins and think of like the lion leading the pack. This is Leo energy, like follow me, follow my light. I will get us there. The positive keywords for Leo would be they're creative. They're here to create, generous, warm, and loyal. The more negative traits of Leos can be the narcissist, kind of all me all the time, can't see past their own nose, more self-centered and arrogant. Leos love being in love. They can fall in love with someone once a week. They also do not do well with broken hearts. So they can get stuck in that brokenhearted kind of energy and tail between the lion's legs, kind of wounded with that. So it takes them a lot sometimes to bounce back from relationships. I also have a cat who is a Leo, and I've had a ton of pets in my lifetime, mostly cats and dogs, but this is the first pet that I've had that's a Leo, and she knows she's fucking cute. She does these dramatic flops, and I've never had a pet aware of what they look like until I had a Leo cat. And she's super dramatic, and she is super allergic to being ignored. That's what I say about Leos. They do not like being ignored. They love to be the center of attention. And again, all eyes on them. So I don't know, Gina, if your pet knows they're cute or like has some kind of concept, even though they're an animal, of what they look like or how they act and it gets attention. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like if so I have Milton, who's the Leo, and then the two girl dogs, the female dogs, they play together a lot. And then if they ignore him, he will literally just stand there screaming at them. I mean, and it's a scream, and he's a coon hound. It like rattles your eardrums. It's so annoying. But yeah, if he's not getting enough attention, if he's not getting what he's wanting, there's a lot of huffing and puffing. There's a lot of side eyes. There's a lot of just
dramatic.
Dramatic endeavors. Prance around the yard. And he's just, yeah, he's very dramatic.
Okay. I also associate Leo with like the fashion people of the Zodiac. So bling and sparkles and kind of like all eyes on me. I have actually two girlfriends who own stores, fashion stores that are Leos. So it's like perfect.
Whoa.
And I don't know if I've talked too much. I think a couple signs I threw in the body parts. Every sign rules a body part and Leo rules the heart. So Leos, when they're vibing high, is all heart, warm, generous, just want to give you big bear hugs kind of feeling. And they also, a Leo also rules the spine and the upper back. And it's funny, my little cat who is a Leo has a heart defect. So I'm not super well versed in medical astrology, but I'm finding ties to zodiac signs and kind of medical issues people can have. So just another thing you can do with astrology is like how it rules the body and the interactions with that. I was telling these girls before we started recording that I'm nervous for this one. I haven't been nervous in a long time. I actually spent the weekend with a bunch of celebrities and I wasn't nervous. And that's why I think I said I've had these like Leo existential crises. I was at a event called Paracon in Duluth, Minnesota, which is kind of like Comic-Con for ghost hunters and alien people. So I had a booth right next to a TV and movie star. I didn't know who he was before I got there. And I'm like the opposite sign of Leo is Aquarius. And I'm so stuck in my Aquarius past life self node still because I'm really detached from celebrities. I don't really care. And all weekend I was kind of like, should I care more? Like I'm next to a celebrity. And he ended up being really cool. And it's so cool for me to meet these people that are on the screen and not know any of their work and then meet them as a person and get to know them before I see their characters on the screen. So I can kind of not have a bias when I meet the, you know, quote unquote famous people. Yeah. I even sat at a dinner table with somebody who owns or has their own TV, like a ghost hunting TV show for 20 years, no idea who he was. So I kind of asked him what he did. And he was super humble and it was so great. I kind of have to watch myself. I get a little judgy. I immediately think celebrities are full of ego and all that kind of stuff, but they're not. They're just normal people. And it's so cool to just like sit around with them and be like, oh, you're just a normal person. I get to know you before I see you on the screen. And it was super cute to see all the fans like come up to the booths and just like freak out and get pictures. And it was just super fun. So I was kind of surrounded by really Aquarian Leo energy this weekend because it's like celebrities, oh, wow. But they're famous for really weird things, which is right up my alley. So any questions? I think I went through my list again. My example for my celebrity example that was not at my conference this weekend is Halle Berry for Leo. I think she is a perfect example. I was like pulling up pictures for her for a presentation I was doing, and she's in her 50s, I think, and she still rocks like the bikini. And she looks amazing. So these are the Leos, like rocking the bikini, rocking the fashion. She always gets best dressed at the Oscars and she's constantly falling in love. So that was like, she's had a lot of relationships and they're very dramatic and they're very big. So that's my kind of celebrity example for Leo.
Oh, whoa. Yes. That's totally, I wish I could fall in love every week.
I wish I could rock a bikini and feel super confident about it. Like, you know, that Leo just like, I'm owning it. Like, I look fabulous. I'm working on that.
Who was the celeb, Meredith? Who was the celeb that you were next to?
Yeah, that's my question.
Okay, so I met, who did I meet? Let me Google these names just so I get them right. Chris Fleming. It was the one I met, and he is a ghost hunter, psychic medium. He's had his own shows, and I don't know much about him, so I'm going to check out his work. And every time I go to these conferences, I meet more of these TV personalities, and then I go look at their stuff. So the last conference I was at, I met Grant Wilson, who is the ghost hunter, and I had no idea who he was. So I met him, I'm like, are you a ghost hunter? And Natalie, my partner's like kicking me under the table. She's like, he's the headliner at this event, Meredith. And I'm like, oh. So Chris Fleming I met, super great guy, very, very nice. And then I was next to an actor named Chad Lindbergh. He was in Fast and Furious movie, and he also was in a show called Supernatural. which I didn't watch.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about now. Yes.
Okay, so Ashley, do you know Kate, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
I saw your guys' cute
pics. Yeah. So Natalie and I asked our friend Kate, who's another yoga instructor, to help us with our booth this weekend while we were reading people. She could check people out and sell crystals and that kind of stuff. So we were there for a couple hours, and Kate was like, I knew the person next to us like was a celebrity of some sort. And it took her 2 hours, and she's like, oh my God, Supernatural is my favorite show of all time. And one of the stars of the show was next to us. And she like kind of was like, I didn't know. Cause that show was on, I think he was on the show 15 years ago. So now we actually started watching the show. So I'm going to check him out. But yeah, Chad Lindbergh, Supernatural star, and then Fast and Furious, I think the first movie, which is kind of a guilty pleasure movie of me, of mine. So I'll check out that. Yeah, super nice guy. And he, his mom was actually working the booth with him. So it was like the cutest.
That's really cute.
Super cute. So yeah, I had this like Leo weekend, but
yeah, no kidding.
Working on my karma.
Cool way to kick it off.
Yeah.
Shoot. Ashley, what do you have to add? Like, how can we use this when we're doing
self-care,
motivation?
So many things. I'm really excited. You're nervous about it, Meredith. I'm excited.
So nervous.
About Leo. And we talked about the progress chart too. I think you talked about that before. And I am definitely like growing into this Leo energy as I get older. I just feel excited. If I were to be able to pick a sign that I would be other than Cancer, because I love my sign, it would be Leo. I think Leo is just very, I don't know. Cool. Here's the word. Here's what I think of when I think of Leo. Big dick energy.
Yes.
Is that not like the best description? Right?
Oh my God.
Hopefully that's not the last time that's mentioned.
I'm not nervous anymore. You just like zapped that energy out of me.
It is though. Like there's just like, I don't fucking care. I mean, like masculine in a good way. It's
confident.
Confident. Here's why I love Leo energy, because we think about manifestation and creating the reality of our lives. We dream pretty small, actually. A lot of us do. We don't really see these huge possibilities for our life. Whereas Leo, they see it huge. I mean, there it is just like, which we're going to talk a little bit about abundance, but when Leos dream, they dream big. And I think that's so contagious. Like that's so fun to be around. So most of the signs I can't guess sun signs on people, you know, yes, definitely rising, but like, I can't always guess sun signs. Leo suns, I can tell. I mean, most of us can probably, someone walks in the room and they're a Leo sun, or they have a fair amount of Leo in their chart. And you're like, whoa, they're so bright.
You notice them.
Shiny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So right now, I mean, I know these are really timeless, but right now Venus is going to be in Leo this week. I mean, there's just a lot of Leo energy, like the summer, that hot, shiny kind of like
Venus and Mars and the moon right now, making out in Leo. Yep.
Just like, like wearing a tube top, feeling great. Like this is summer energy before it gets kind of like overwhelming, you know, towards the end of the summer. I think this is that like bright, 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 shiny spot. So how you can embody and use Leo energy for feeling good and just taking care of yourself on the regular. One, Leo is extra always. I mean, like so extra. It's got the accessories, got the whole outfit, everything. Do not shy away from that. If you have a lot of Leo in your chart or you just want to embody that feeling, don't let anyone dim your light or make you like make fun of you for being extra, because that's your superpower. You get to just like bask in that glory. That's what I, you know, whenever I work with Leo is I'm just like, please go big in all the things that you do. Like, do not let anyone give you shit for it, because this is who you are. Secondly, because Leos are pretty fiery, obviously a fire sign, and just exudes a lot, giving yourself a balance and cooling that energy down is really critical. And there's a lot of ways to do this. One, really simple, and this is what I've been doing recently, because just feeling the hot girl summer vibe, is drinking chlorophyll water, like a little chlorophyll and some mint, putting like drops in my cold water. I mean, literally like cooling liquids into your body is, that's an Ayurvedic practice, like giving yourself that balance. Additionally, with that fiery energy, burning off a little bit can be so helpful. And I know we've talked about this when we talked through Aries and some of the other fire signs in general. It's just that there's so much energy in fire, and it can manifest into anxiety, into like the more negative expression when there's so much fire there. And so doing things like working out or moving your body or just sweating, like I think like being in a sauna, yes, that's more heat, but like giving yourself the opportunity to burn off a little can feel really good in, you know, in the physical body.
Can I add one thing to that? Wear a fucking awesome workout outfit.
Oh yeah. Like a
match. As Leo's like, yeah, while you're like working out and sweating, like you look awesome. Like you're, everyone's like at least looking at your outfit. Yeah.
And you know what, Meredith, I'm so glad you said that, because so frequently I'm doing an episode on this week about, we think that, you know, spirituality is all, it's all within, you know, it's all about your soul. It's all that meditation piece, but often, I mean, we're in physical bodies. We're on this earth, and often we forget that when we feel good and we look good and we adorn our physical forms and just really honor that works inside as well. I think it's all very much a spirituality practice. So like taking a beat and recognizing what your personal brand is and like representing that in all the things that you do, taking a shower, putting on cute clothes. Lately, I've been renting clothes. I told Gina about this. Such I've been renting idea. On like Rent the Runway and some other fun things because it feels so good to look good right now. And that is not a bad thing. I think we think that we need to be, you know, inside doing our meditations, doing like working on the insides and not always the outsides. And I think they go hand in hand. So Leo Big Dick Energy, please embrace that because it's super magical and it is very contagious. I love that you said generous, Meredith, because I think that like, yes, Leos are very in tune with their individual side. They like know who they are. They're confident. They want to be seen, but they're also really willing to give away that love because they have so much of it and you can feel it. It's palpable.
Yeah. In my former life, I was a paralegal and I had a Leo boss. And every time I would take a vacation, I would go to another country or take some time off of work. She would always get me a gift certificate for the nicest restaurant in town for where I was going for hundreds of dollars. So she got me one in like Dublin and I went to Hawaii at one point when I was working there. She was so generous. It was like super feel good energy. Totally. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you guys that just popped in, and this is going to be subjective, and you know there's a positive and negative expression of everything in astrology. What is your, I'm curious how you guys feel about this, what's confidence versus arrogance? When do you cross that line into like that person's arrogant versus that person is confident? Because confidence can show up, and when people are looking at you as arrogance, it's like the filter we're viewing people through, so it can be misinterpreted. How do you guys feel about that? Like, where do you draw that line between those two energies?
That's a good question, Meredith.
Like, that's arrogance for me is like, I don't have time for you. I'm too good for you. You know, I'm not going to give you the time of day kind of feeling. But yeah, you guys stumped.
it's such a good question too, because to me, it's in the eye of the beholder. If I'm seeing someone, I'm going to use examples of like people that, you know, I see that I don't know. If I see them as really confident and just really in, you know, in their, they know who they are and they're not afraid to show it and they don't hold back. And I'm thinking of specific expanders for me, people that I really want to embody. They're confident and they share and they're just like, yes. Sometimes when I see potentially the same person and I see them as arrogant, I don't think it's them. I think it's me interpreting them as arrogant because of something that I have to work on myself. So when I see people that are really confident, I'm excited to be around that. And when I see people that I think, wow, that person's really arrogant, I'm like, oh, whoa, check yourself. This is something that you get to work on. So I don't know. That doesn't really answer your question.
No, it's like I said, you said eye of beholder. It's totally subjective. And you know, you ask 10 people for their their experience with a Leo, you're going to get 10 different answers.
Right.
One person like, oh, that person's really confident. I want to be more like them. And one other, the same or a different person might be, oh, that person's really arrogant. I want nothing to do with them. So yeah, it is so subjective. I think
of it almost like arrogance is like, I'm up on a pedestal. And so I'm looking down at people. Or if people are seeing me as arrogant, they see me on some pedestal that maybe they're, I don't know, want to get on, to your point, Ashley. Mm-hmm. But I think of confidence as like this quiet knowing within us, which influences how we show up in the world as strong as we can in the strengths that we have.
Yeah.
My therapist will always give me questions like that for me to think. And then she'll be like, what did you think about that question?
And it is so subjective. And then arrogance could be very in line with maybe they're just ignorant to your feelings or just more detached, but that doesn't mean they're arrogant, you know? So, yeah. You know, human psychology, we can just dive into this for hours. It's juicy stuff. But yeah, that's Leo in a nutshell. Good tips, Ashley. Any more? Did you get through all of your?
Yeah, I got them all.
Okay.
Sweet. Okay. So I have a couple questions, Meredith. Mm-hmm. You and I did a solar return reading last winter or fall.
Okay.
For this year, like my 41st revolution around the sun. And you had said this year, is it the progressive chart? Is that what it is?
If you or the solar return. I'm going to pull that real quick. Just so I have in front of me, but keep talking.
Yeah. Cause you had mentioned that I was a Leo rising for this year. And what's mm-hmm. so funny is like everything you're talking about, I feel like are things that I've stepped into in this year. Like,
cool.
Yeah. Even my workout clothes.
Really? Oh, I love this feedback because solar returns, I don't use them very often. But so the theory is, Gina, until your next birthday, you are kind of encompassing a new mask and you're putting out more Leo energy when you first meet people. And in the shamanic tradition, the rising sign is what's rising within you. So this year, that Leo energy is rising within you. And it's in your birth chart to get to more Leo energy, to incorporate more of it, get more comfortable with it, develop more confidence. So thank you for sharing that with me. That really helps me understand these rising signs in the solar return charts, which I don't use too often, but it's cool to know that. I mean, back in the day with your workout clothes, were you more Aquarian, just kind of like old t-shirt and sweatpants or something? And now you're more blingy with, I don't know, the brand name stuff.
Yeah, well, just because of my interests and stuff, and I've been working out since I was like 12.
Yeah.
But like, I would say in the last year, it's gotten more like matchy-matchy, or I'll be like, do I like the way I look before I leave the house?
And go wow, you are totally going towards that Leo energy.
It's like, who is this? But it's also like, no, this feels good. I'm going to do it, as opposed to am I being egotistical? It's like, I'm really just doing it for me.
I know that battle.
Right,
this weekend, I was like, I need a matching workout set. Like, what am I doing? I teach yoga. I don't have a matching set. So I went to Marshall's, which like, I don't know, that's another journey, but I did find a little matching set and I feel really good. So with you, Gina.
Yeah, it makes a difference. It really does.
I was going to say too, like Leo with the fashion piece, they are brand name fashion. They're not doing the generic. They're not doing the knockoffs. They're not doing
Marshalls.
Not Marshalls. That is like brand name Prada bling. That is Leo's comfort zone. They love it.
Wow. Wow. I'm just thinking of my, you know, my clothing searches and the like, oh yeah. That lines up. My taste is becoming more expensive. Yes. Okay. So my other question along those lines is like and I think we've talked about this before. We talked about it in the birth chart episode that was released recently. But so if my north node is in Leo, what does that mean? Like, I know you and I, Meredith, have talked to about it, but could you almost like just speak to the North Node for anyone who's like, I have my North Node's in Leo, or if someone's like, my North Node is somewhere else. I just love the way you explain the incoming energy of the South Node and then like what we're striving for. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
For sure. So wherever your north node is in the chart, and I call that the soul contract, what you're kind of here to develop is going to be opposite your south node, which is the past life symbol in the birth chart. So Jean and I both have the south node in Aquarius. We have had lifetimes of Aquarian energy. We've mastered Aquarius energy. We're loners, wallflowers, you know, we're fine being weird, can kind of detach and zoom out. You know, Aquarius is more the wallflower where Leo is the prom king and queen, like kind of look at me. So Gina, both you and I are here in this lifetime to be and get more comfortable with being seen. being recognized, kind of all eyes on us, develop confidence with that, more receptive to compliments and flattery, and perhaps more fame. We're, you know, in our DNA cellular memory, kind of uncomfortable with that for whatever reason. And we're here to own our talents, display them to the world, and be seen. I mean, I am so stuck in my Aquarius North Node. I think I told you guys I got married in my living room because I had this gorgeous dress. I got my makeup done for the first time in my life, and I only had 10 people looking at me. I still couldn't like put myself out there. So that's an example of me being stuck and that Aquarius energy and not doing the big, you know, wedding, kind of Leo kind of wedding. Does that even answer your question? Like, we are here to, I am still working that. I think Gina, you're a step ahead of me with the Leo. I'm getting there. I'm getting more confidence. Maybe I'll get some workout clothes that are not sweatpants. But yeah, just we are here to put ourselves out there and get more comfortable with it, which maybe wraps into me being nervous about this episode. There's something in my DNA that's like kind of pinging me today. I'm like, why am I nervous? It makes no sense that I'm nervous to talk to you girls where I just spent a weekend with celebrities where I didn't know who they were.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so would you say, because I remember when you first said that to me, I think I was actually in the yoga and astrology class that the two of you taught. It was the first mm-hmm. introduction I had to you, Meredith. And you said something about that. And it was the first time I had ever heard it explained that way, of like the Aquarian energy coming in and you have to be okay with being seen, moving from being the observer to being the observed.
I said something like, you are so good at observing. You can just sit back and people watch and take it all in. You are moving from the observer to the observed, and finding the magic middle between those two points.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I really loved about that was like, it really named something that was uncomfortable for me that I felt like, oh, just get over it. And made me feel like, okay, this is actually a big life arc for your story in this life. And so don't feel like I'm failing because I still haven't figured it out, or I'm failing because I'm not totally comfortable in the spotlight. But I really like that. And I guess it speaks to what I really like about astrology in general, is it like, it takes the pressure off me. I'm someone who's like, oh, this is not right, so this must be my fault, you know? And so being able to kind of take that pressure off. And what I think is really cool about the South and North Node, just from my point of view, is I get a lot of clients who are like, I feel stuck. I don't know what my purpose is. I want to know more about my purpose, my gifts. And I think that that's such a cool through line. Mm-hmm. For people to be able to look at that South Node and be like, yeah, I am comfortable in that space with those qualities. And then to sometimes when we step out of our comfort zone, if we can, I feel like if I can know where I'm stepping to, it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. And it's like almost unfortunately on planet Earth, we can't grow without a little discomfort. Always growing pains, putting ourselves outside of our comfort zone because we can live there forever. My mentor taught me the South Node is more like our cozy fuzzy slippers. You know, you just want to feel in that like kind of comfort zone, but even that will get boring after a while. You can't just like be super comfortable. You got to grow, put yourself out there. And then that's how we learn and evolve as souls.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then my other thing, I get a lot of emails about these episodes and people being like, oh my gosh, this is such a good intro for me. And so someone said something at one point in a recent email about how they didn't even think of applying this stuff to the houses. So then my question to both of you, I'd be curious to know what you think here. So if we're talking about Leo energy, and Leo energy is kind of like that extra, if we were to just sum it up in one word, is it kind of like, if you look at your birth chart and see what house your Leo sign is in, that's where you like to be extra. That's where you should be extra. Like, can you speak to that a little bit? Like how these, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
so Gina,
it's a little too hairy, but.
No, I have your chart pulled up. So I use it as example, and you've got your notes right on the MCIC. So I'm going to put that on the shelf and just, you're right on the, you're kind of cuspers with the houses, but I'm going to use the third and the ninth. So these are the communication houses. The third house is kind of like language, how we learn to communicate, how we learn language as we're a child. And then the ninth house is communication, but it's more like philosophy, like the, like our wisdom, our path. It's like the truth that we want to put out to the world, and that we incorporate our truth versus just information. So Gina, your nodal access is about what is the truth and all of this information. And your north node is in the ninth house. So you are here to put your truth out there to the world, and own it, but also at the same time, not expect anyone else to follow your path or force your truth on another person. So there's a truth information kind of undercurrent to your nodal axis in your chart if you throw the houses in there.
Ooh.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I even had a client session this morning, and the person was like, one of their next steps, their spirit guide said, book another session. And I was just like, this is not a hypnotic suggestion. I did not say that. You do not have to book another session.
Okay, no, I totally
like,
get that.
I'm so scared that someone's going to be like, yeah, it's like, I don't want to push this on anybody.
So going back to the Leos, like being able to sell things, like they are the salespeople of the Zodiac. They could sell, ice to an Eskimo. So I'm really bad at selling my services and selling what I do. And I think, Gina, you just described that about yourself too. You know, you're like, you don't need to book another session. It's fine. And I'm like, no, sell it. Like the spirit guides are selling it for you.
I know.
That's kind of funny.
Ashley, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, it's so funny because I kind of use it similarly. When I look at houses, I'm really thinking like, okay, so if we're looking at your sun sign or your moon sign, I can say when you're really focusing in on this flavor of self-care and you know that like your moon is in whatever house, so let's say it's in the 10th house. When you self-care in this way, meditating, whatever it is, you're gonna feel it most in your career. If it's 10th house, you're gonna feel it in your professional life, right? Yep. When you're fully in that high vibration, because you're taking care of yourself, it's gonna manifest in this area of your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that is an interesting point of view, because I wasn't even thinking like that, from a manifestation type of thing. Ooh, and that goes perfect with our abundance question in a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah. And I want to, doing a little bit more advanced, and I know Ashley, we've talked before about this, but I don't remember what you said. So every Cancer sun will eventually progress to Leo. Every Aries sun will eventually progress to Taurus. Our birth chart grows with us. We'll always have the same birth chart, but a progress chart kind of grows up with you. In 2017, Ashley, around springtime, your progress sun dipped into Leo for the first time. And you were around 30 years old because you were born at a 0 degree Cancer. So at 30, you started to embody more Leo energy. And I don't know if you can think of a shift. And I think we did talk about this. And I don't remember what you said. In early, mid 2017, that's when that kind of happened to you. Do you 100%. Remember a shift?
Yes.
Is that when you started your business, or how did that show up for you?
No. So Cancer, right? Mama bear, nurturer, yep, up to the max. I have always, always turned away from that part of myself as like, nah, I'm going to do like all the cool like career things. I'm not going to be a mother. I became a mother at 30, and it opened up my doors to all that is like the many, many gifts. And when I think of Leo, I think of gifts. I think of just total abundance. So I felt like at 30, you know, working through that Cancer energy, I kind of accepted what, you know, really that I am a mother, and stepped into this whole new world of receiving the many, many gifts and being bright and shiny. And like, it's gotten more and more intense as I've gotten older, and it feels really good.
That's fascinating to me, because it took you those 30 years as your son was progressing through the sign of Cancer. And it, like, as soon as it left the sign, you became a mother. It's like you had to learn the ropes.
It was a baby Cancer. Like, yeah. 0 degree Cancer. Total baby Cancer.
Wow. And then this fierce Leo fire energy, which just amplifies the mama bear, kind of protective, generous energy that you bring to your, you know, being a mother.
Yeah, that is really interesting. So even I think we have talked about this, but
it's advanced astrology. If I can't remember,
maybe
so
no one else can either.
There was an episode we did kind of dip into progressions, and it's advanced. So don't, if you're learning astrology, don't go there until you've mastered the birth chart.
Okay, yeah. I just find it so valuable to kind of like put a label on something where sometimes I feel like I'm kind of blindly feeling around, like, what is this issue? And that kind of lightens it up, which I think is really cool.
Oh, and there's another episode. So between the three of us, Ashley is the only one that has a planet in her birth chart in Leo, which is Venus. And I think at the end of the episode, it's like your birthday one. You're like, I love presents. Give me all the gifts. And I'm like, that is such a Venus and Leo thing because I'm so uncomfortable with gifts. And I have Venus in the opposite sign of Aquarius. So Ashley just gave me a great example of that. Do you remember that episode? I forget which one.
Oh, yeah.
One.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the last one, I think.
Was it the last one? Okay.
If you have Venus and Leo listeners out there, like, just flipping rom-coms, like watch, like live your life as a rom-com. You connect through ridiculousness, like through drama. I love reading. I love reading like kind of bad romance novels,
cheesy ones,
you know, like sexual and just like, fuck yeah. Like let's do this. And I'll give you some recommendations. The Roommate is a great one. If anyone has read that, Beach Read is another good one. Just yummy and things that you would probably feel embarrassed to like have it on. Maybe like 50 Shades is kind of like that, but it got too cool. Just really like rom-com kind of energy. If your Venus is in Leo, don't shy away from it. Lean into it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. And Ashley, what you said about like, you never really felt like a Cancer. What's so funny is I have had a few people say this to me. One of them who sticks out is Sarah Leverett, friend of the pod, Oracle episodes. She was like, I never really identified with the Aries. I think she's an Aries. Yeah, she's an Aries sun, I believe. And she said after she listened to this episode, it kind of started to make a little bit more sense. So my question is, what do you recommend when, like for me personally, for the first time in my life, I would say in the last 3 years or so, I feel like, oh, Libra. Oh, I feel like I really identify with that. And before that, I can't say I did. I'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I like things to be fair and balanced, but I mean, you know, are they? No, they're not. That's not the world. But do you have any recommendations for someone who's like, I'm a, you know, Leo sun, but I don't feel all of this. Like, what are some things we can do to like tap into these areas of our life and kind of unlock that if we feel like we don't feel that energy?
Let me understand what you're asking. So you didn't identify or kind of feel like you were a Libra and now you're getting there. Do you want to feel more like connected to Libra energy? Are you struggling still to connect? I mean, where your Libra energy is, Gina, in the 12th house, you're probably always going to kind of swim. Mm-hmm. And it's like your Libra energy is in the part of the chart where you can't catch it. Like it's kind of the mystery part of the chart. So you might always kind of struggle. And I would just say like, be okay with that. You know, when I hear people say, I do not resonate with my sun sign, I immediately go to the moon or the south node. And the south node shows up more. They have mastered that energy. They may be stuck in that south node. The south node is so loud in the birth chart. It might be louder than your sun sign. And maybe you guys feel that too, but the south node is, I think, one of the most important players. And the sun sun is more the ego identity part of you. It's how you shine. You'll always shine doing those sun sign things, but that's just a piece. The sun sign, you gotta kind of throw the sun sign out the window. People focus a lot. It's very, very important. It's your life force itself. It brought you to life, but there's a whole galactic mix of energies in there. And like, that's okay if you don't resonate with your sun sign. Don't force yourself or feel like there's something wrong with you if you don't.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. And I think, Ashley, long ago, you and I were having a conversation about this. And Meredith, I don't know if I've actually ever asked you this, but I one time heard that like your moon sign is kind of who you were when you were a kid, your rising is like maybe teens, 20s, or into your adulthood. And then as you grow older, do you grow into your sun sign? Is this false?
I have a theory that the sun sign officially kind of clicks into place at age 7. That is the first Saturn square in the birth chart. And before age seven, kids are kind of very imaginative. They're saying they're connected to the other side of the veil. I think the pineal gland in the brain starts to calcify around seven. So that's when I've seen, and it really showed up for me in my life, where you click into that sun sign, you actually realize you're in a body and you're separate from everybody else. The moon is the soul and the rising sign is very active, as well as the first three houses in your birth chart in childhood. So it's not necessarily a planet. Go through the houses, not one, two, and three, and into four, that's going to represent your early childhood years. And your sun and your moon might not be in those houses. So it's a complex, complicated question. And there's
Okay. Can I, as far as like tying this to really the work that you do, Gina, in uncovering past life baggage, I think you're spot on, Meredith, that often when we don't identify with something as a part of, you know, whether it be our chart or just like who we are, I think it's so helpful to go to the South Node and find that baggage and say, oh, okay, like where, what is this ancestral lineage? What's in a past life? What's in my childhood that is holding me back from fully embracing like my essence? And I think past life regression is the best way to do that, to uncover that.
Oh, thank you. I'll take that.
I honestly, when I have sessions now, I like get so excited when someone tells me they've had a past life regression. And I hope more and more people are doing it, like I've said a million times. So it just adds so much richness to the reading when they have a couple stories or experiences that they can share. Because I do get stuck on just the symbols. I can never pull in the story, at least at this point in my practice. I'm looking at these symbols and how do you build the actual story from that? So yeah. I'm always referring people to you and other, you know, past life regressionists, like get it done, people. when you're ready, helpful. Not before, when you feel ready or you feel stuck and you're like, what's going on? Like get a regression. So, yeah. I mean, I'm
just something to kind of crack you. I feel like for me, it's something to kind of like jar me loose, see something from a different perspective. Okay, so Leo energy, my question for you two before we wrap this up is abundance. Like, what is abundance to you? How do you know when you have it? What ways do you feel like you block it? And Leo, abundant energy, but also whenever someone talks about abundance, sometimes I think we use words and we're all saying something different, but using the same word.
That's so true. So,
yeah, what is abundance to you? Ashley, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Abundance is a mindset to me in that you can have, I use this example a lot, you can have two siblings who've had the same upbringing, they've had the same life, they've had the same traumas, they've had the same, you know, backgrounds. And one sibling sees the world in an abundant way and sees that life is happening for them versus to them and really embraces every moment, the hard things, the good things, and really creates a reality of abundance, whatever that can be, whether that be, you know, gifts and family and money and all of your dreams coming true. It just depends on like what you want. And then the other sibling sees the world through the lens of lack and really, you know, thinks things that are happening to them and why, you know, in that victim mentality. It's hard because with what's happening in the world right now and really wanting, you know, everyone to be treated fairly and equally, it's I feel sensitive to talk about abundance frequently because I just don't think everyone has that same upbringing and like same opportunities that I do as a white cisgendered woman. And that's where I struggle often when I talk about abundance, and that's like a whole nother podcast episode. But when we're thinking about it again, with two people that have the exact same challenges, one that has the mindset of abundance and again, embraces the challenges and the goods and the bads and all the things, and one that really takes on that victim mentality, they go in completely opposite directions. So if you can sit in that positive abundance mindset as often as possible, more things will happen for you.
I love that. Even the idea of like on a shitty day, To me, I would think of abundance in that sense of being like, it's not always going to be like this.
No.
You know, like,
no,
this shitty mood's going to move on. And so sometimes it's like just knowing something will come back. Yeah, I like that. Meredith, what about you?
Yeah, I saw your email with this question and I kind of freaked out a little bit because I don't know. I had to Google the definition of abundance, because you can think of abundant money, abundant, even abundant bad things. You can have abundant bad luck. So I landed at, like, I'm online right now and I'm going to throw the website that I found. And I love Ashley said abundance is a mindset. 100% that resonates with me. It's not how many cars you have or purses. It's like how you feel, like, inward. So I found this website. It's comanifesting.com. What does abundance mean spiritually? And this resonates with me, so I'm going to read it. Abundance simply means having more than enough of everything that you need all of the time, whether that's money or air or food or water, just you're fine. Like, your needs for the body and mind and soul are met. That would be abundance for me. And the spiritual meaning of abundance is that your higher self, that what you really are, is intricately connected to the abundant universe, which is the source of everything that we desire. So I like that kind of synopsis. And it's a great topic for Leo, which is ruled by the sun, which is abundant energy. The sun isn't going to stop, I think, for about another 5 billion years. So we're good.
Fingers crossed.
At least that's, yeah, exactly. That's what we're taught in science class anyway. I don't know how they know that, but that's what we're told.
Yeah, I've been thinking about, I don't really use the word abundance because I'm like you. I mean, Meredith, I would have been Googling it if you would have emailed me about abundance. I'd have been like, but what does this word really mean? But I almost think of it as like a satisfaction. Like, I feel satisfied. Yes, even if I want this or need that, can I feel good in this moment for me? Not to perform for the world so everyone thinks I'm okay, but like for me in this moment, is there something I can access? You know, is there something that if I can switch my focus and my mentality to focus on like what is abundant? Because Ashley, it is like, even I think like manifestation, abundance, all of that can get like spiritually whitewashed and then bypassing 100%. And all of that stuff. Yeah. And so just to even think about it a little bit differently, and this, I personally have been thinking about satisfaction a lot. I mean, just since the pandemic, of this idea of like, how do we get it? And what do we do? I mean, a lot of the things I did for satisfaction, we couldn't do during the pandemic. And so even just being like, how can I satisfy one part of myself right now? How can I satisfy myself like later on this week? I know it's going to be a busy week. What can I do to help myself through it, or kind of like give myself an abundant feeling of like joy and just not depleted?
Yeah. To add one more thing, I would say abundance is the absence. Like, what is it not? It's the absence of lack. So you've got the water, you're not lacking anything. And that's hard as a human to get there, because, you know, our tendency is to bitch and moan about things that we don't have or that we want.
Yeah.
But when you start to focus and shift your mind to abundance and trust and like the law of abundance, I've been working with that for years, and I can tell you anecdotally, it fucking works. It really does. When you just trust that the money will come if you need it, the food will be on the plate, the roof will be over your head. It's kind of a mindset. Like Ashley said, it's like, it's working out so far. It's crazy.
Where you can apply this like right now, we often will say things like, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to self-care. I don't have enough time to get a reading, whatever.
Manifesting that then.
Holy shit. I mean, that's like, that really comes into play when you're constantly sending that out into the universe that you don't have enough time. You actually do have enough time. We have a lot of time. We have, you know, infinite time when we really get clear on what we want to use that time for. So it's a matter of, I mean, I say this to my husband all the time. Oh my gosh, I'm so busy. Like, I don't have enough time. I got to pick up the kids from school. I got to do all the things. And he's like, he calls me out and like, no, you have time, but you're choosing to scroll Instagram for 30 minutes. That's on you. Okay. Thank you.
What else do you argue about?
So many things. He's a Capricorn. We're opposites. Full moon household. It's amazing.
Balance, though. Bring balance.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much. As always, a ton of fun. And we will be back next month. What is next month, Virgo?
Uh-huh.
Back to school energy. Let's do
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it feels very fallish. That's why I was like, is that true? Well, cool. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there it is. That's our episode for today. Thank you so much, Ashley and Meredith, for being here. And thank you for listening and sharing this podcast with your friends. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for being open to the power of these fun conversations. As you know, I started this podcast because I felt alone a lot in these weirdo thoughts and wanting to just dig deeper. So having these conversations, it's introduced me to a world of people who help me feel, you know, like I say, normal in the best way possible. So thank you for being here. As always, take anything in this episode that's helped you and just leave the rest.